New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan is on now.
Yes, yes, we here we are. We're still here. Welcome to the Big Radio Show on this Monday, September 10th, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and I was just reading about what the last caller was talking about. Serena Williams was... she went over to the line judge and was screaming profanity at her about... she said, if I could, I would take this blank ball and shove it down your blank throat. And then the line judge went over to the umpire, and the umpire called out the tournament referee. And Serena's heard saying, I didn't say I was going to kill you. So she had already smashed her racket previously in this match, just 2009. And so they threw her out. They said, you're gone. Bye-bye. They threw her out. And they have also done that to a man, John McEnroe, got thrown out of Australian Open for swearing at the umpire. So I still am a little bit... this guy, apparently, this Carlos Ramos, doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. But in general... the word from the tennis world is men get away with more than women. But the racism part, I'm going, racism? Naomi Osaka, I don't know her total ethnicity, but there's got to be some mixed race there. But she's obviously, she's what? She's Haitian? Haitian and Japanese. Because she's a woman of color, no question. So I don't know what the racism thing was. But that's what people yell today. They yell, the judge is a racist. That's what he is. And what's he going to say? So anyway, we move on because we have other abusive behavior to talk about. It's too bad this wasn't scheduled for tomorrow when we have Hadre Tuesday. But Les Moonves has also moved on. They threw him out as well. And this... is after, I'm telling you, the New Yorker, Ronan Farrow, came out with a very detailed, very graphic report on six more women raising new assault and harassment charges against Les Moonves. This is in the New Yorker dated September 9th. That was yesterday. And the board of directors at CBS said, you're gone. I mean, I cannot describe in detail what he reported in the New Yorker. But Moonves apparently acknowledged three of the six encounters, but said that they were consensual. That's what they all say, don't they? Oh, yeah, yeah. Charlie Rose said, oh, yes, I came out of the shower and dropped my towel, and the women, these young women that I had over my place, it was all consensual. I don't know where they get this in their head. I don't understand how they think. But CBS has been criticized for not holding Moonves accountable for the first six women that complained. But this gets in the detail. I mean, we've got names and places. A woman by the name of Phyllis Golden Gottlieb. She filed a criminal complaint with the Los Angeles Police Department last year, accusing him of restraining her and forcing her to perform oral sex on him and of exposing himself to her and violently throwing her against a wall in later incidents. They worked together when... Moonves was in charge of Lorimar Productions. So, I mean, that's just as far as I can go. But there are, so the board of directors said that they are still continuing their investigation, but this was enough. So then the question, we talked about Moonves on, was it Friday? Friday, Andy? Thursday or Friday? I can't remember. And I say he's going to get $100 million to go out the door. So where's the penalty? He's like 68 years old. They're giving him $100 million, and he gets a nice package to go home and retire. But, this is pretty graphic, is more than graphic. And so CBS board finally said, you're going, and we don't, and they're now doing the investigation, completing the investigation on what they previously started, and they're continuing their investigation on these next six women because of the fact that there is apparently language in his contract which says that if he is released for cause, then they don't have to pay him a dime. But he, so the financial package is, shall we say, pending. And CBS will donate $20 million to one or more organizations that support the Me Too movement for equality for women in the workplace. On Friday, I was going off on the fact that Moonves, there is, you know, this, forget it, Me Too movement. Here's a guy who knows what else he did, but this is obviously not everything that he did. A monster in the workplace, but he was the golden boy. So nobody reported him. Nobody, I mean, they tried to keep their jobs. He's been running CBS since 2006. So it's forced kissing, forced oral sex, unwanted advances, physical abuse. Some of the women said that he retaliated against them and their careers were ruined after he made sure that they would never work in that town again. So I was saying on Friday, yeah, looks like there's no penalty. The guy gets $100 million. He harasses all these women and goes out the door with a ton of money. So this isn't much. They're not going to give him, pending the package of $100 million. Actually, the package is $120 million. They're giving 20 of it to, like I said, these Me Too organizations. And then they're going to go from there and decide whether they're going to give them any more money or not. So Howard Kurtz, the media guy on Fox, chimed in on this one, saying this guy is by far the most powerful executive to be taken down yet.
Well, it's not even close. Certainly, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose are more famous as big-time television personalities. But Les Moonves has been a force in Hollywood for decades. And for 15 years now, he has run what is the top-rated broadcast network. So this was a powerful media mogul. But essentially, CBS had very little choice. As you mentioned earlier, this second piece that popped yesterday, Ronan Farrow in The New Yorker, detailing these chilling and graphic allegations by six more women, two of them on the record, Sandra, saying he forced them to perform oral sex, one saying he slammed her against the wall, others saying that he retaliated against them, ruined their careers. It would have been a whitewash for CBS to leave this man at the top of the company.
Yep. So Howard goes on to talk about the fact that, yeah, the money part of it, not clear if he's going to get that bye-bye package.
Well, first of all, the denial that you've been mentioning, I find it strikingly weak because Moonves says, well, three of these six cases were consensual sex, but he doesn't say which ones because there's a lot of detail in this Ronan Farrow piece. Now, what's next for Les Moonves is he going to get the $100 million exit package that we've all been reporting on in recent days? CBS was facing a public relations fiasco if it were to get rid of its chief executive and yet pay him all this money, even though he's probably contractually obligated to receive most of that money. So instead, the outside investigation, these outside law firms at CBS Commission have to complete their investigation. It's possible Moonves will get nothing. It's more likely he'll get a big chunk of that, but after the spotlight has faded. And finally, a masterstroke by CBS to announce that it's donating, with money to be deducted from Moonves' compensation, $20 million to organizations that support the Me Too movement.
I don't know if it's a masterstroke or not, but Bill Cohen over at Variety, Vanity Fair, says that they're still trying to figure out that business about how much money Les Moonves will get.
This is one of the very few times that a Fortune 500 CEO has been caught up in the Me Too movement. It's been complicated, obviously, much more by the fact that he just signed about an 80-page contract last year that defined very clearly whether he could be fired for cause or whether he could leave for good reason. One would result in him getting nothing. The other would result in him getting around $200 million. Obviously, the CBS board and the CBS outside investigators are grappling with that now. Did he violate any of the CBS rules and regulations and company policies? The story that I described with him assaulting more or less a doctor who he went to see to treat his diabetes happened in September of 1999 when he was CEO of CBS Television. I don't know whether that's covered or not by his contract. Don't know whether the other allegations that were made in the Ronan Farrow pieces are outside of the contract. So, I mean, there's still a lot to negotiate here, but he is definitely out. It's definitely not consistent with the persona that we all thought that we knew about Les Moonves.
Yeah. Yeah, so it goes on. I mean, usually it's the doctor assaults the patient. No, this was the patient assaulting the doctor. So back to Bill Cohen from Vanity Fair. Says he was asked about how is this going to change the way that companies hire CEOs.
Well, what there should be is a new clause in any employment agreement to make clear if there are bona fide allegations or provable allegations or of sexual assault or sexual harassment that defines a cause for firing and makes it clear that there will be no severance payments upon being relieved of duties. I mean, what makes Les Moonves' contract so complicated is that there don't appear to be a policy like that. I think, we're at an inflection point where this is going to be part and parcel, or should be part and parcel, of every CEO's contract now going forward.
Yeah, you would think. You would think. All right, so what do you make of this? Because this is... by the way, the guy that runs CBS, also Bill Fager, Jeff Fager, is also under a question about his behavior. So I don't know where this is going to go, but how widespread is this out there? 855-295-6600. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
We want to begin with this important news about this network and one of the most powerful executives in the entertainment industry. Longtime CBS chairman and CEO Leslie Moonves was forced to resign last night. The announcement came hours after reports of at least seven new sexual misconduct and assault allegations against Moonves.
He took my whole career. He appeared naked. He picked me up and threw me against the wall.
There was a progression of this board, of this company, being reluctant to act, and that was at the heart of what made these women come forward.
Yep, so there's a montage of Nora O'Donnell this morning on CBS This Morning, and one of the victims, and Ronan Farrow talking about Les Moonves. So I don't know what you make of this, because they're CBS now, this Charlie Rose and now Les Moonves. You go around to some of these top executives, I don't know as a man how common this is. I have told you before, I have seen it twice in my business life, but not to the level of these guys. Buttons that lock doors and dropping your pants and inviting women to your hotel room and then coming out of the shower. I don't know if this is standard operating procedure for one half of 1% or 10% or 50% of these people, but I don't understand how you get to this level and not get stopped along the way from some of the problems that you have. Do they not know about the accusations that have taken place as they work their way up the ladder. So somewhere along the line, somebody said Les Moonves is our golden boy and started promoting him. He started off as an actor, but he got into running Lorimar, and so he did whatever he wanted to do. And the women knew that they had no ability to fight back, none whatsoever, because of who he was. So, I mean, these are women that are not putting themselves in a position where you can look at them and say, shame on you, you should have known what you were getting involved with. No, these are women that are just going about their business, doing their business, and all of a sudden he decides to attack them out of nowhere. So these are people from Warner Brothers, they're from CBS, they're from Lorimar, they're from a variety of places along his path. And like I said, these guys that I know, everybody knew, they are who they are. They seem to be blind to their own problems, and yet I don't know why more people don't report it. If everybody knows that so-and-so is physically attacking women, but a lot of this is done behind closed doors. These stories by these women say he said, she said. It's just that it's piling up. Here's six more on top of the previous six. So now we got 12 women. And you know if it's 12, it's got to be 24 or 36 or 48 or some other multiple of it. But if you read the New Yorker piece that came out yesterday by Ronan Farrow, don't leave a copy around if you have children, because it is XXX rated. It gets into detail like I've never seen before. And Ronan Farrow, I'm guessing that everybody's going, oh my gosh, look at this guy. He's doing all these exposés. I got the feeling that maybe it's not that hard. If you want to take a little time and start nosing around some top CEO of a company, you'll find this out. My only other experience with this, and this is, I did not know that the guy was harassing women, was when I, with Roger Ailes. When that story came out from Gretchen Carlson talking about Roger Ailes, I swore up and down, no, she's got to be making this up. Never saw Roger ever, in all the times and places, ever be inappropriate with anybody. So this stuff is done behind closed doors. You just don't know. So now, you glad that his $100 million is in jeopardy? I don't think this will stop unless these kinds of guys know that there is a huge cost if they violate women.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
So, just a couple more quick points about Les Moonves. And, let's go back. Howard Kurtz, CBS, tried to sweep this thing under the rug, it looked like. Got a lot of criticism for it. Now this next article drops with six more women. Boom. Even Howard Kurtz said that CBS finally realized they could not sweep this under the rug.
I think the independent CBS directors have essentially taken over with Moonves on the ropes, and they've decided to stop trying to do damage control and to be more forthright, both in cooperating with journalists like Ronan Farrow and in trying to sort of turn the page on this terrible chapter. And I think it's noteworthy that if it was not for the dogged reporting of Ronan Farrow in The New Yorker, this is the guy who, along with The New York Times, helped expose the misdeeds, the horrible conduct of Harvey Weinstein, the story that NBC wouldn't run when Farrow worked there, we wouldn't know about much of this. And so, you know, journalism gets maligned a lot with some justification these days, but this is an example of one reporter, one publication staying with the story, and also the courage of these women to come forward on the record describing these terrible events that happened to them.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. Ronan Farrow is doing this all by himself, and he got into a real tussle with NBC, saying, NBC, I had all the facts. NBC said, no, about reporting on all bad things going on at NBC. And he says, you know, NBC's trying to cover their own backside. They did not hire any outside law firms. They haven't done anything because I think they're afraid that they're going to find that a lot of the senior executives at NBC are the next ones to be shaking in their boots if they're not already. So, good for CBS, but I got to ask you something. I mean, I'm sitting here in 2018 talking about CBS as a big deal. I'm wondering where broadcast television is going, because I'm not the young kid out there that everybody tries to portray is the person watching streaming instead of and unplug their TV. I've unplugged my phone years ago. My wife and I just use our cell phones. We don't have a home phone. When we watch television, I mean, it's a matter of, are there some things we still watch? Yes. But are you watching television as much as you did before? And are you watching television on your smartphone or your tablet or your desktop or some other device other than your television? And I see the movement in my own viewing habits. And I'm not the demo. I'm not the target. But the younger viewing habits are quickly moving away from television. So for my generation, we talk about, well, I'll tell you, back in the day, I remember there was ABC, NBC, and CBS, and there was that fuzzy UHF thing that you could not get anything worth watching. That was our choice. That was it. That's why you had the evening network news anchors were such a big deal. Walter Cronkite, Huntley and Brinkley. I mean, these were big, big, big deals because if you wanted the news, that was where you got it. That and the newspaper. So that whole media about the newspapers have dried up. They're now online. I mean, I don't know what physical paper they print anymore, how much of it as a percentage, but it's got to be a fraction of what they used to do. And the same with television is that, okay, we've gone from NBC, ABC, CBS to 1,000 channels that you have a choice of watching, but I'm telling you there is a disconnect that is going on between Americans and their TV sets. So I look at this, I mean, the evening news today, the three network evening newscasts, have a fraction of the audience they used to have. So we're getting down to the point where the media moved away from physical newspapers, and I think we're moving away from the physical television set. And you will tell your children about it as if it's some history book item. And they will look at you with a puzzled look and go, what's a TV set? What is that? So this whole industry is changing rapidly. It had nothing to do with Les Moonves. I'm just top executives. First of all, I don't know. It seems like if you're a top executive, you've got plenty of opportunities that are voluntary. You don't need to force yourself on somebody. I don't understand that. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Tim, thank you for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. You know, this is just strange. I mean, you know, first of all right, I don't like the idea of someone being able to accuse someone else of something, and then all of a sudden, you know, you lose your pay, you get suspended without pay, you know, because someone can accuse you of something, right? The thing is, if they
not one of these cases has been just one allegation. It's been a large number.
And I'm not saying it didn't happen, but you know, just someone or a few. The thing is that, and like I said, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just think that if you were, because pretty much what we're talking about is the sexual crimes here, right? You should be able to go in, you know, and say, listen, this is what happened to me. But the thing is, I think before they move forward, you should have to take some sort of a polygraph test to see if you're just kind of, you know, BSing or if you're kind of making it up and everything. And if that is the case where you do pass the polygraph, then they should go after this guy, right? I think that it did happen. I think they should throw the book at him because if that were your daughter or your, you know, who you're, you know, well, yeah. well, not my mother, but you know,
we all have mothers. I don't know. You think your mother, you mothers, always think your mother's sisters, another role, right? but yes, she was a young woman once, and there's your daughters, your sisters, your wife, you want to make sure. If you were on the board of directors, you don't want to just throw the book at somebody without knowing some facts. The problem with this guy is that you've got women from all these different companies where he has spent some time working that they don't know each other. And obviously it got to the point where they must have figured out that this was, in fact, true. And
yes, I believe it is. Was he married?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Julie Chen is his wife. She's talking about nepotism. Right? She has that talk show on CBS television. I mean, who's going to say no to her? You're the boss's wife? Yes, of course I'll come on your show. Yeah. So, I don't know what that conversation's like either around the old homestead, but this is... Have you ever worked with a real aggressive sexual harasser? You ever been around one? Everybody knew?
Yes, I have. I've been around. I've had a female version of that happen with me when I was in college. You know, and that was. Oh yeah, yeah. You know, and
let me ask you. You know, did you report it?
No, I didn't report it, but everybody kind of knew about it.
See?
I remember that was like about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of knew how she was, and she was a big lady. You know what I mean? And they just kind of chalk it up to her just, you know, that's how she was with everybody.
But that's the thing, is that everybody, when we go to work, we're pretty close. We don't know everything about our coworkers, but when there's somebody that's a sexual harasser in our midst, I think... most people generally know, but all right, Tim, thank you. I appreciate the call. Phone number is 855-295-6600. That's where the sixes come in. We'll be right back.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
So we're getting word that Julie Chen, who is married to Les Moonves, did not appear on the season premiere of The Talk on CBS today, one day after he got booted out of the company. So apparently she said, I'm taking a few days off from The Talk to be with my family. I'll be back soon, and we'll see you Thursday night on Big Brother. Well, she's on that, too. 855-295-6600. Fred, thank you for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Thanks, Tom, for taking my call.
You
always
bet.
A pleasure listening to you. You're really thought-provoking.
You.
I'd like to get to the core of the issue here. And I think what's happening is that the way we define success or how people achieve it is eroding. And what I mean by that is that success is really not only what you do, but how you do it. I had a coach in college that I played football at the university. He used to talk about winning with style and class, which is how you treat people. And a gentleman by the name of William Hewlett and his partner David Packard, who were not only they were not engineers, they were wizards. and they were not business people. They were tycoons that didn't grow markets. They created them. But even more than that, they knew people. And they talked about integrity. They talked about strength of character. And they talked about the fact that if you get things done, but there's blood all over the aisles, that doesn't count. So it's not only what you do, but how you do it. And a lot of these people, and this man who I didn't even know existed until he was just mentioned, is an example maybe of people that really think they're above the law. And there's two laws. One is the legal law. The other is the moral law. So what are the first principles that are driving these people? And I think that 50% of their tank is empty because they don't have guiding first principles around morality. And my concern is that these people that lie, that cheat, that steal, that deceive, that conduct these kinds of crimes in the workplace, in public and in private enterprise, when that kind of behavior becomes normalized, or even worse yet, admired, then we are in real trouble. So it gets back to this concept of first principles and the laws around not only legal law, but equally as importantly, the moral laws as well. Thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, look, I find it interesting. I think your comments are right on. I find it interesting that this man was able to climb up the corporate ladder. Maybe it's because it was Hollywood. Maybe they have a different ladder than ones that you and I have had to climb. But there's an old saying in drafting professional athletes, you know, about which position. Should we get somebody that's a center? Should we get somebody that's a forward? Should we get some? And the people that are most successful are the ones that say, let's get the best athlete, and we'll figure out how to use the person when we get them on the team. I think it's the same with this. It's the best person is the person that you want to promote in your company, and that includes the whole person.
That's right, Tom. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're hitting on a very, very, very important point. This is the core. When companies hire, and this is something I've been in the industry a long time, decades, and what I was never able to agree with, and I still don't agree to this day, and it is changing. They used to say, well, you're going to hire the professional. Well, they try to distinguish between the professional and the person. You can't, and you shouldn't, is the point, right?
Because right.
The individual has great professional skills, but doesn't have the personal profile that's required. In other words, if they bring poison and viruses into the organization, behavioral viruses, that's a bad thing. So it's both the person and the professional, and you have to make a 360-degree, three-dimensional assessment to make sure that you have the best person and professional combined, because I don't separate the two. It's kind of like saying, is it a mental issue or is it a physical issue? Well, your mind and your body are integrated, so you have to work together.
Yep. No, I I'll tell you where I think there's a problem where you really have to make a moral call is in fields of sales. Because if I'm a great salesman and I'm bringing in the money, and remember, that's important, I'm bringing in the money, but I am a corrupt individual and a drunkard and a skirt chaser and a whatever it might be. Do you really want me to represent your product as I'm out there selling it in the marketplace? So a lot of companies will look the other way and say, well, they're bringing in the money, so let's just pretend that everything's fine. I don't know how this guy kept getting promoted, and it must have been a culture within CBS. And that's kind of where a lot of people are going with this. And investors are wondering, too, is what else is going on at that company? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, this concept of full transparency doesn't exist in many of these places. And if it's a culture that is accepted, normalized, maybe even admired, that coupled with fear generates this kind of behavior.
Your point is excellent. I don't know if people will get on that path or not, but there's enough people that are not, and obviously Les Moonves thought what he was doing was acceptable to somebody. I don't know who, but he made it to the top of his company being basically a creepy guy. Fred, thank you. Very good points. Get Gina in here from Carson City, Nevada. Hello, Gina.
Hi, yes, I'm from Carson City, Nevada, and I just want to say that, you know, I'm listening to you every day. I'm trying to figure out why these high-end, wealthy, conglomerate men and or women don't just go to the local cat houses. What's the problem? I don't
understand. Well,
it throws me.
You have those in Nevada. Most people don't. But I kind of went there earlier where I said, there's a lot of successful men have, shall we say, plenty of opportunities. There are women that are attracted to successful men. That is why a lot of bosses get involved in these problems, because of the fact that they have some women that will say yes. And so why would you need to, if you could get 20 women to say yes, why would you attack other women? I don't understand. And these are, if you read the New Yorker, these are physical attacks that he was,
well, you know,
it had to, you know what they say about it's about power.
CBS, like CBS, you were saying CBS, NBC, and all the radio, the television stations, you've got to understand there's a lot of people that don't watch CBS, NBC, and CNBC any longer because of the hatred, number one. The hatred. So everybody's turned off by newspapers, television, and you're right. It's going to be a thing long gone. Going to be long gone, and it's too bad. I do not get the local newspaper anymore because I'm not going to sit there and open it up and read about all the liberals hating Donald Trump and hating every Republican in the world. And you know what? There are no more newspapers in Carson City, Nevada. Nobody takes them anymore. And then I don't know who this man is. Moonvay, never heard of him before. That just, I mean, it's like, who was this guy? I'm listening it today after I go and I'm golfing. I come back and I'm like, who was this person? Never heard of him. Well, maybe because I don't watch CBS anymore because I'm good. So tired.
No, it's kind of an inside baseball thing. He was the top guy at CBS, the highest paid broadcasting executive. So maybe it's inside baseball. I know about the guy, but I didn't know this about him. But your comments are great. Gina, thank you.